Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I didn't know this. I'm reading this article about Harden. So, what do you think Harden shoots on catch and shoots?
Ooh.
What do you think he shot last year? What percentage?
I don't know that he has a ton of those, but I would say all catch and shoots or threes?
All catch and shoot threes.
Well, I mean, most catch and shoots are going to be threes anyway. I would say 30%.
How about 41.2%?
Oh, higher than I would have thought, because he usually does work off the dribble, though.
And he shot fewer catch and shoot threes than Eric Bledsoe, Markelle Fultz, and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, he doesn't shoot
41.2%.
How many did he even shoot? He doesn't shoot many catch and threes.
No.
He catches and shoot threes. He's off the dribble.
No, he's off the dribble, but he's a much better three-point shooter with catch and shoot. And it's this thing, I see, it's amazing to me, the narrative that's national, and it's dead on. Any player who dribbles as much as Harden will inevitably have some aspects of the game in which they cannot expend a significant amount of energy on. Off-ball movement shouldn't be one of those things for Harden. Staying engaged, even when he doesn't have the ball, will lead to better offensive possessions for the team and easier looks at threes for himself. But we all know, when James doesn't have the ball, James just stands there. James is up near the half-court line. James ain't doing all that. So That is something that really, a new coach, a new culture, somebody has to come in here and tell James, this is what you got to do, bro.
Is that going to be John Lucas?
I don't know that.
The new culture isn't happening, just so you know. I don't see that.
No.
You got a new culture in terms of Daryl being gone. That happened. You got a new culture in terms of having a GM that Joel Blank can't say enough bad things about. You got a new culture in terms of a head coach that may be a guy who has worked with James, who will likely, you know, it'll be more of James running the show if that's considered a new culture. I wonder if James and Russ can get along great in year two. They seem to get along just fine in year one. I wonder if he can do it in year two. See, and I seem to remember him and Chris getting along. It seemed like getting along pretty well in year one. He and Dwight in year one. Year two is going to be Charles and Clyde got along okay in year one. Year two is where everything kind of pops up. Like, if there's any issues, it starts to bubble to the surface.
Exactly. And we'll find out whether – I don't know that Russ is as – well, we'll see.
James might not be for all of Russ's foolishness. And when I say foolishness, on the court, like, you know, dumb plays.
Right. James has got his own. I mean, James can't. James ain't throwing rocks living in that house. Okay? James has got plenty of stupid turnovers on his own. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, this is the year that you find out whether or not James. Right now, there seems to be a common denominator, and it's James. Can't get along with Kevin McHale. Can't get along with Dwight Howard. Can't get along with Chris Paul. Now we'll find out whether or not he can get along with Russ for two seasons. But they're both L.A. guys, right? So
yeah.
We'll see if that doesn't help. By all appearances, the two, but it is another star, so we'll see. And whether or not, if Russ tries to tell him anything to do, then Russ is in trouble here. There's right. no question. No question. Kendall Baker put out a tweet. He said this. Steve Cohen's bid to buy the Mets has been approved by MLB's ownership committee. Cohen's net worth, $14.6 billion, makes him wealthier than the next three richest MLB owners combined. Now, this is just individual owners. This doesn't include principal owners that are corporations. So, Steve Cohen, New York Mets, $14.6 billion. Next is Ted Lerner, $4.8 billion. Then San Francisco's Washington is Ted Lerner. San Francisco is Charles Johnson, 4.5. Marian Ilitch is 4.1. Do you know what Steve Cohen is going to do?
What?
He's going to go into New York and he's going to go, we need to make a splash. We need to get star power. And how much would Yankee fan hate to have former Astro killer George Springer on the Mets? And how much would that just irk the New York Yankees and also revitalize the Mets organization?
Well, I think it would irk him more if he was a Red Sox, because they have to see him a lot more.
But in the same city, too, that would be...
Yeah, but the Yankees aren't ever losing their foothold. That's like the Jets losing to the Giants. The Mets will never overtake the Yankees. But I do think, I don't care what the Yankees think about it, I just care that you're probably right. And that George will go get that money from the Mets. And the Mets, if they're going to make a splash, I don't know. I don't know the Mets lineup very well, but do they need, like, would Michael Brantley fit there too, since George and Michael are tight?
But George Springer and Michael Brantley will fit on any team. I don't care what
Brantley
team.
Brantley can be a DH, maybe not the Dodgers. Like, you couldn't use Michael Brantley as a DH?
Yeah, right. If the National League adopts the DH.
Oh, wait. Yeah. That's right.
Then,
we're talking Mets.
Wait, the National League might adopt the DH.
Yeah, there is a talk after this year. I think that. Do you think the pandemic is going to lead to any long term? You don't think, like, you think extra innings is going to be a second base thing from now on? Start extra innings with.
I don't know. That wasn't well received
in the regular season.
That was not well received. That was not nearly as well received as three batter pitcher.
Man, the Dave Roberts rule.
Yeah.
That is an issue. You know what I heard yesterday on Colin Cowherd? I heard A-Rod say that he liked the seven games back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back format because it forced you into managerial decisions.
Mm-hmm.
It forced you. Now, I will say that is true. I think it makes it maybe too hard. It certainly made it very hard on the Astros. But
who's deeper?
It does, he said, you know, you get to who the best team is when you stack it like that, because you have to respect, you know, you have to respect you can't just, for example, you can't just weasel a Kevin Brown in at any time. You really have to go four deep. You have to decide, okay, are we going to go, is our rotation going to be four deep? How do we handle our other starter? Are we going to make one of these starters, you know, kind of a four-inning guy and the other one a four-inning guy and our closer? I don't think he's wrong, John. I thought that it really did force American League managers into tough decisions that they had to make regarding their pitching staff. Obviously, National League too, but you know the thought's always been, well, with the DH, you just don't have as many decisions to make. Man, when we were having these playoff games every day, which is kind of cool to watch, that, okay, we know the Astros are still playing. It really was a cat and mouse game. Like, you had to have your starters go a certain amount of innings. I did think it added a certain element of I don't know. I mean, not just drama, but managerial chutzpah and intelligence to the proceedings.
Yeah. No. It absolutely does. It made.
Did you like it?
I did. I thought it was a lot more difficult. I hate it when, listen, that we've seen play a game take 2 days off in the postseason. And because for television.
Television, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just ridiculous. We've seen that before. And you don't decide. Listen, you got to have five starters all season long. And then when you get to the postseason, you got to have three. That's not the same. That's not telling you who's got the best and deepest team. So I'm with you. I think that, you know, they're not going to do it where it's every day for seven straight days. They just won't, because you're going to have travel days now too. As long as you keep it to 2 days, a travel day, 3 days, a travel day, and then the last two. I mean, that's all you can do. You can't possibly, if it's not in a bubble, if it's not in all in the same field, you can't do that anymore. But that won't stick. But there's a good chance that the facing three batters, I could certainly see that stick, and I could see the DH sticking in the National League. I think that I think once it started over there, it ain't going away. It just isn't going away. The Mets outfield is Michael Conforto, who's really good, Brandon Nimmo, and Jeff McNeil.
Sounds like a bunch of really good players.
Well, they're OPSs. Conforto was 927, which is really good. Nimmo is 888, and McNeil is 838.
That's not terrible.
No.
Okay, George ain't going there. Looks like we're keeping him.
Yeah, George ain't going there.
Looks like we're keeping George.
No, George is going there. Don't worry, you're going to find room for George. Yeah. And Jake Mariznick. Well, we had Blake Taylor. Let's see where Jake Mariznick. Oh, he didn't really play. Oh, Jake Mariznick. Wait, a 959 OPS. 33 at-bats. Jake had 11 hits. Are you kidding me? And 33 at-bats. He played 16 games. He must have been injured. Oh, my gosh. They love Jake Mariznick and his hair there.
Everybody loves Jake Mariznick.
A pretty small
sample
size.
Remember when he struck out like 20 times in a row as an Astro?
11 hits and 33 at-bats for Jake Mariznick.
Somebody's cheating. Something's happened.
Something happened.
How many strikeouts? 11?
10 strikeouts, one walk.
Yep. That sounds about right.
That's about right. That's about it. 814 ESPN 975-7370-3776. I want to talk about the Loken Group right now. That's my guy, Lance Loken, over there at the Loken Group. Lance Loken is awesome. People, you will love him. He's going to be your best friend when it's all said and done, because he's going to walk into your house and he's going to give you an immediate cash offer. Now, is that okay? Do you not want to do all of the prep work and everything else that you've got to do, because you can avoid it right now? Dude will give you an immediate cash offer for your home. And there's story after story after story about all of these people, Becky and Charles, 2 days, two offers, sold the house for $7,000 over the asking price. When you're talking about the Loken Group, you're talking about the number one, Wall Street Journal ranks Lance Loken one of the top agents in the entire state of Texas. Out of all the agents in Houston, Shark Tank star Barbara Corcoran only recommends Lance Loken. This is success story after success story. Their average days on the market for a Lance Loken house is 32 days. The average for the average agent, 49 days. Do you want to sell your home? Do you want to sell it right away? Do you want an immediate cash offer? Do you want it guaranteed that you will sell it, that you will sell your home? TheLokenGroup.com, LOKEN, TheLokenGroup.com, 281-861-4624, 281-861-4624. If you want your home sold, call Lance Loken. If you want it just listed somewhere else, call somebody else. But if you want it sold, call the Loken Group.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lamont said he had an irrational fear of quicksand when he was a kid. I don't even know if quicksand really exists. It does.
Are you sure it does?
Yeah,
quicksand. Have you ever seen it?
I've seen it.
In person?
Yeah.
Where did you see quicksand?
It's all over Louisiana.
No way.
No, I don't know.
You've never seen quicksand?
No.
Okay, yeah, I haven't either. I saw it on, I think, like, well, I saw it on Gilligan's Island. I've seen it on other TV shows where like a horse drug a guy out. They threw something to him.
Yeah, I think quicksand is real. You don't just make that up.
Somebody told me there's somebody's dad, there's somebody's uncle on Twitter. They said, my uncle died in quicksand in Florida. And I'm like, well, yeah, okay. You tell me Florida's got quicksand? I'll totally believe that.
Yeah.
But sinkholes, to me, are the new quicksand. That's real. I've seen videos of that. You can just be driving, and a sinkhole can just open up, and you can fall in. I mean, how does that not scare you?
Yeah, but then you just crash, and then you get out. I mean, it's
not... No, you could fall pretty far into the earth.
Have you heard about the people whose houses fall into a sinkhole?
Yeah. Yes, I have, John. This is part of my issue. Did you know that... under my house, after we had a pipe burst, it eroded some of the soil.
Oh no!
And so now there's a void underneath there.
So now you think there's? Do you think?
Oh no! I've already thought about how I could fall into a sink. I've already had, you know, I had a foundation guy got there like, no. This is your house is fine. You're not gonna fall into a sinkhole. And I'm like, you don't know that.
Yeah.
How does a guy know about a sink? Some foundation guy know about sinkholes
specifically for this reason? Doesn't know.
You don't.
The guy whose job is to know doesn't know?
Yeah, but people miss all the time.
But you trust your instincts over his.
Typically, yeah. You know what Art says you're afraid of? Supercuts, pancake booty, and his dad.
No, I'm not afraid of my dad anymore, as most kids were. You're afraid of your dad at some point. I'm not afraid of pancake booty. I just decide to avoid it because it does me no good.
Mm-hmm.
And supercuts, that's not afraid. It's just a smart choice for a black guy not to go there. It's not fear. I'm just making decisions. That's all.
Guys
I don't live
go
in fear.
To supercuts all the time.
Who? You?
Black guys. Yeah, me. Dark meat.
Which? What? You don't even go to supercuts.
I go to supercuts.
No, you don't.
No, I go
he's
to.
He's not a black guy, Del. Stop even entertaining this.
No, I'm not saying he's a black
I'm
guy.
Dark
as an Italian,
he's trying to bring himself into the.
As an Italian man, I don't care. He's not going to supercuts.
He does it for the culture.
The culture doesn't go to supercuts.
I go to TGF. Same thing.
And
it's the same thing.
Do you see black people at that haircutting place?
Yes.
No, you don't.
No, he does.
Yes.
No, you don't. That's a lie. It's a complete lie. There's no chance.
You know what I learned a few years
the
ago?
The guy right behind who, Vishal cuts my hair, and the guy right behind her is, he's a black guy, and he is transitioning.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Look at the spice on this story.
Yeah, yeah. So you think I'm not, first of all.
You're woke. I know. Your team's
woke.
I get all that stuff.
Secondly, culture, the culture.
But do you see black men from the ages of, let's say, 50 on down in that chair getting haircuts? No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
All the time.
That's not true. Stop.
Yeah,
it.
True.
It's
yeah.
an out-and-out lie. Why are you lying to people? That don't happen.
Yeah. No. It happens every day. Happens every day.
You've never seen it.
What is all of these? Why are all these reuniting? What is the deal? Raymond's reuniting. The cast of Legally Blonde is reuniting. The cast of the Fockers is reuniting. What's the deal? What's all these?
Are they doing like special shows or actually like limited series?
Is it going to be
doing?
Rich and Charlie reuniting?
I don't.
Is Russ Small coming in? Are we reuniting?
Well, Rich and Charlie already have reunited, haven't they? He had them in studio, didn't he? Oh, no, Josh had him in studio.
Josh had him in studio.
Yeah. They're all doing the move, the Legally Blonde move.
It was just a reunion, right? It's not a show.
It's a reunion, right?
They did a reunion.
What, on Zoom?
Yeah, it looks like.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
That's not a thing. They're just hanging
reunions
out.
Reunions on Zoom? I don't care about Zoom crap like that anymore. I'm over that. Get back to work.
What do you mean? They
get
can't
your
get
test
back to work.
And get back to work.
What They're
work?
Actors. They can't go back to work.
Yes, they can. Eric Layton's filming in Hawaii right now. He said you take your COVID test and you're good.
Why do you? Why
things are filming right now. Oh, by the way, I'm not allowed to say where. Well, I'll tell you off the air. Wow. Eric said I can't say, but he got hired to a show that we like.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Which shows do we
And he's like?
Like,
y'all need to come down here. I'll tell you during the break. He said, y'all need to come down here whenever I'm taping.
It's in Galveston? Oh, my God.
Yep.
What show in Galveston do we like?
Pawn Stars.
Is it at Jackie's house in Galveston?
Pawn Stars.
We don't watch Pawn Stars.
Yeah, that's our show.
No.
It isn't.
Don't guess. I can't tell you anyway.
Is he on Narcos?
I can't tell you anyway.
No.
Narcos Galveston?
No, Narcos Mexico. Why would
Narcos Galveston. You don't think anything runs through the ports there?
I'm sure it does.
Ozark. He's in Ozark?
Ozark Galveston?
Ozark,
why do you keep saying Galveston? What show?
000 Galveston.
What show do we like in Galveston?
You can set any show.
No, he said down here. He's got it. That's where they're taping. It's down in Galveston.
That's why I thought Mexico when he said down.
Well, unless they're taping in League City.
No, they're taping somewhere in the south. That's all I'll say.
Ozark's in the Missouri, Deliverance. Arkansas area.
Deliverance.
I got to figure out what show.
Ozark's taped in the Arkansas area.
Isn't that? Or is it taped in Georgia?
Isn't Ozark in Missouri?
Arkansas is in the Ozark area.
Yeah. That's what I'm...
Wait, isn't that show in Missouri? Because remember Missouri, the Kansas City Mafia?
Ozark is in... Yeah, it is in Missouri, but
yeah, it's in Missouri, but Arkansas is right next door.
Yeah, it's right next door. Yeah. So I don't know where they're taping, though. Who knows? I can look it up. But I guess we'll find out during the break because Lance decided to only tell two people and not the rest of the world.
Well, he said I couldn't say anything to anybody, but I guess I'm going to break his trust.
Well, you're a terrible friend. We know that.
Do you want to know?
Not particularly.
Okay, I won't tell you. I'll just tell John.
Okay, call him.
Unless John doesn't want to know.
I'm not that interested.
Del, what are you afraid of other than unexpected pregnancy? What are you afraid of in sports? Tua sucking?
I'm not afraid
of
that.
Yes, you're afraid of Tua not being good. By the way,
can I
Tua is the starting quarterback.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. And Brian Flores said he wished he was able to tell the team because it broke without him being able to tell the team. I'm not afraid of Tua sucking because if he does suck, we'll just use the Texans pick to take Justin Fields. It's okay. We have your pick. I have your pick, remember? It's going to be like a top 7 pick. We'll be fine.
1-5, and it's a 7th pick. That's unbelievable.
Do you think they're starting him because they got to find out whether or not they need to use the number 2 pick on a quarterback?
That's some people's theory. Other people say he's been good in practice, and despite the 3-3 record and Ryan Fitzpatrick being okay, he's still kind of Ryan Fitzpatrick. He misses plenty of throws that he should make, misses plenty of reads. People who watch the All-22 have said that. I think it's a combination, but apparently he's been really good, and it was only a matter of time before this happened.
So it is a little bit unusual, though, that you're right after these last two wins for Fitzpatrick. The timing's a little unusual, but it's also the inevitable thing.
Well,
so
Colin Kaepernick did it to Alex Smith. Remember? He did it. Jim Harbaugh benched Alex Smith. Well, he was injured.
He was injured, yeah, and that was a wrap.
And it was a wrap. He didn't bring him back because he felt that Colin Kaepernick took them to another level, and he was right. So we'll see how it goes in Miami.
Yeah, it's the right call. You got to find out. I mean, he sat long enough. You got to find out. You use the 5th overall pick. Ryan Fitzpatrick is just a Band-Aid. You got to see. Now, I mean, what are you going to do even if you make the playoffs?
Well,
I mean, how far are you going?
Who knows? I don't know. They're okay. They're not great, obviously. But if you believe in Tua, who knows what happens in his rookie year, but his job is to elevate that entire franchise. Now, does it happen in year one? Doubtful. But the path to being really good doesn't go through Fitzpatrick playing 16, 17 games this year, or including a playoff game. It's about Tua. That's the path to being really good. So why not start it now? Now that he's, I guess, fully healthy. I guess it's by the time he plays November 1st, he'll be like 355 days or so away from the injury.
We did that, too, here in Houston with Deshaun Watson. They let him learn from Tom Savage for a half.
Okay.
He did.
What a great decision.
It's like, Deshaun, we want you to learn slowly from Tom Savage. And then at halftime, they go, okay, did you see? Did you learn about trying not to get sacked?
Uh-huh. Tom Savage was so far ahead of Deshaun, Bill O'Brien didn't even give it any thought about playing Deshaun that it lasted a half.
Oh, my.
He was so far ahead of him that it lasted a half.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it wasn't a question, remember?
He's like, okay, did you get everything you needed?
But
all right, come on in. Go ahead.
Leading up to that point, it wasn't a question of Tom Savage is our guy. Tom's going to play. Tom's our starter. Tom's the guy. And for a half. Nice job on that decision.
We don't make knee-jerk decisions.
We don't make knee-jerk decisions.
Ooh. Yes, you do.
Man,
yes,
time.
That is the definition.
Hoyer, you're out of there. Mallet in. Mallet out. Hoyer in.
His quarterback decisions were the definition of knee-jerk decisions.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
100%. It is. So if you missed it earlier, you might want to listen to the podcast in the 7 o'clock hour. I talked to a couple of people yesterday who were potential candidates for GM position with the Texans. Now, I say that not knowing who I'm just based on my knowledge of who the best names are around the league. I think these are both guys who would be considered potential candidates by Corn Ferry. And that's the that's the group doing the advising. They're the advisory group.
Well, you can go over it. Why don't you go over it again on the other
side? I'll go over it again on the other side. We'll do that. And then Almighty Dalla asks a pretty good question about free agency in the amidst COVID.
Okay.
And if that may change the baseball structure about who the Astros might lose or might keep.
Let's talk right now, though. You can bet on it. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. I'm sure that they'll have some kind of George Springer, where does he sign, odds. Because they have the most unbelievable, I mean, it's ridiculous. How many different things that you can bet on at MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. It is, it's a great site. You will really love it. They got, okay, World Series right now. You can bet in-game while the games are going on. You got Champions League odds. You got NFL, presidential debate odds. College football odds, UFC 254, which is going to be good, by the way, NASCAR odds, Formula One, MLS, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. And in-game live betting, that's pretty damn cool. So if you're looking for a great way to play and have fun and get paid, it's mybookie.ag, promo code radio. All you have to do is go to the site, mybookie.ag, put in promo code radio, put in your initial deposit, and they'll match that. So you have twice as much to play for. Whatever you put in initially, you have twice as much to play with. So that's just awesome. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio, mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. For those of you that weren't with us, second segment, that's an hour ago. Lance is going to recap what he was talking about. He talked to a couple of potential GMs, so he'll do that. But first, real quick, let's get Terry in here. He's got a Springer question. What do you say, Terry?
No, Carrie.
I was Carrie. Just wondering. Hello.
Yeah, hey, Carrie.
Do you guys think that George Springer's going to re-sign with the Astros? And Dale, do you like onion booty?
Are you one of Eric Wong's? Are the Eric Wong's
girl? You have to ask.
You have to be, right?
You have to ask.
Onion booty's okay. I mean, it's better than pancake booty. Okay. An onion booty will make you cry out of happiness. So
what about heart shape?
I mean, preferable. That's good too. I mean, I think the only booty that you're going to have a problem with is one that's flat. Right. I don't want beef patty booty.
You want to ask Carrie if that's what she's rocking with?
Well, no, I don't. Okay. I don't want to limit her to just being a body part. So okay. No, I'm not doing
Dale,
that.
Dale, you're such an ally.
You've limited Eric Wong to a body part.
No, I haven't. I just said he's got a weak particular part of his body. That's not all he is. He's also an awful caller.
Carrie, what other thoughts do you have and questions? She's getting information from Eric.
Eric Long Dong.
Yep, there it is.
There it is.
There it is.
I'm sure that's... Hey, I don't care about the... I don't even want to get into it. I'm just saying he's bad at it. I don't care about his actual anatomy. I'm just saying he's bad at using it. That's all.
Oh, yeah. You dropped a weak D on him.
Yeah, has nothing to do with what it looks like. It's about what he uses.
I've heard onion booty, but I'm trying to think.
Makes you cry.
Booty's so nice, it makes you cry.
Man. Is that it?
And it also is shaped like an onion, roundish in its look.
You don't like avocado booty?
I've never really heard that term before.
Think about it. Think about the shape of an avocado.
I don't like
it's green and moldy.
It's just flattish.
And I don't like the texture of avocado. It's all mushy.
No, yeah.
Yeah, you don't like avocado booty?
No.
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 Onion booty. What's wrong with you?
You go peach, too, I guess, if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, there's an emoji.
Yes, there is, for that particular purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They knew what they were doing. Whoever talks about eggplant in real life, they knew what they were doing.
No one does. And why is it shaped like? Why is it upright like that?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
We all
every
know.
Time you see the Amazon, anytime you see Amazon commercial,
oh, you
and
love
you see
this
the Amazon
theory.
Logo, do you ever go like this? Oh,
no.
Man, I swear to God, I feel like y'all know what y'all are doing.
I had never thought of it until you brought it up.
Yeah. I feel like Amazon's trying to subconsciously say, what's up? And I'm like, every day there's something new my wife is ordering. I think she's being, I think they subconsciously tried to get her. And now I'm watching The Vow.
Why would your wife be attracted to that thing?
What's that?
Why do you think that particular image?
I think they
image...
do that for women. They do the, here, there's, there it is on the box.
Uh-huh.
There's a box right there.
I know what it looks like. I can bring it up. I have a computer. You don't have to walk away from the mic and grab the box. You don't have to. I have a computer. I know what it looks like. I can look it up on the computer. You don't have to leave the microphone. You have, that's this radio. Don't leave the mic.
I just showed him on a box in here.
Yeah, I was telling people that while you're off mic. Yeah, I know what it looks like. I've never thought that it was what that is. It's not shaped the right way.
Well,
it's got, listen, if you got that disease, it's curved like that.
This is a poor segment.
You started
it. It's Eric Wong did this to us.
Carrie did this. And you, and you think subliminal, I can't say the word, you think this is affecting your wife?
No, I just know that there's too many Amazon orders going. I'm just looking for a reason that I need to shut that down. There's books coming in all the time like, my kids are just going, you don't need to keep trying. They've already quit. Pandemic made them officially quit. They just want to watch wrestling videos and Community and YouTube and Taylor Swift. My kids quit. Jason even asked, if your house fell on a sinkhole, which two kids are you saving?
It's a good question.
It is a good question, but it changes. You know, I have new power ratings that come out every week. So, I don't know. You're going to have to wait till next week, and I'll see what the power ratings look like. Whoever's getting zeros right now, you know, or whoever's not doing well in virtual school. I mean, you know what Snacks told me yesterday? He walked by me in the room and just went, pfft. I said, Snacks, what are you doing? Don't fart in my room. It was an accident. I said, you don't walk and fart like five times, go, wah, 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 wah. I said, that's not an accident.
No. You insulted him a little bit.
That's disrespectful to
you. Out of order yourself.
It was disrespectful. He crop dusted my room, in my room.
He was,
and I was pissed
point.
Off. And I said, Snacks,
it's what a boy does.
I said, let me ask you a question.
He's
would
a
you,
boy.
I said, would you fart in school in front of, I said, in front of everybody at school?
No,
you wouldn't
do that.
I said, he said, I can't control it. I said, oh, really? Does it happen in school where if you can't control it, I bet you don't want people to hear you farting in school? He goes, one time I did in class and the teacher heard it and I looked at the girl in front of me and went, oh, wow, what did you do? And I said, did you really do that? He goes, yes. I said, oh, my gosh. I've got that kid in school. I've got two of those kids.
I think he was
Mason and Snacks. I've got two kids like that.
I believe he was establishing dominance in the home.
Goes, I do, too. I and that's what
that's
you
exactly
do.
What it felt like. Go right in front of me.
Yeah.
What are you going to do
every
about
step.
It?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
He's like the young
I
ram.
I had to come back at him. I can't let him just fart right in my bedroom in front of us like he's got power in the house.
He's a young ram. He's
yeah.
It's exactly what it
and
was.
And he said,
that's exactly
let's
what
test
I felt
the old
like
ram
it was.
Right now.
He felt like he had, like, you think this is, whoa. You feel like it's okay to come into my room and just, you didn't even do a quiet one. You just, every step was something new coming out.
Peacocking.
Like, this is a disrespectful move.
Yeah. It's peacocking. He said, I'm going to test dad today.
And that's why I had to deal with it.
Did you hold him down and fart on his head?
No, I didn't deal with
that's
it that
what you
way.
Need to
that's
do.
What you need to do. To
that's what you need to do.
Yeah, like sticking a dog's nose in it.
He was
if he pees in the house.
Yeah. He was more crop dusting though.
That's, yeah, I should have grabbed him by the neck and just like whiffed and then pulled his head through the wafting.
But you know how you dissuade someone for disrespecting you? You take it to a level where he doesn't want to go to. Like once he crop dusted you, but made it loud so you could hear everything. You go, all right. When you have one in the chamber, you hold his head down,
yep.
And then you poof, right in his face, and then he's, oh, this is a level I don't want to reach. And then he realizes, I don't want to play this game anymore.
I don't want to play the fight game anymore.
Yeah. Then he realizes, it's not a game I want to play. That's how you establish dominance. Right now, he's got dominance over you. Sorry.
No, he doesn't have dominance over me. He tried to establish
You let that man fart in your room. He has dominance.
He did say he did it in school and blamed the girl.
He owns you.
That's right.
You better check that right now.
I checked it. I'm telling you,
by
I checked
verbal,
it yesterday.
By verbal
you know what
discussion?
He told you? You know what he told you? That woman in there with you, that's mine.
No, but listen to this. As he walks out and farts in our room, and my wife's laying on the bed reading a book, I'm like, hey. And as he's walking out, I've said, what are you doing? You don't sit here and fart in our room. I said it just like that. He's like, it was an accident. I said, it's not an accident. He goes, I couldn't control it. I said, yes, you can control it. And I look back, and my wife is like trying not to laugh. She's kind of chuckling and laughing. All I could think of is this isn't funny, because just like you said, this is like a young buck move.
It is.
This is a little Oedipus move where like, no, no, no. You can't let little things like, it's just like in prison.
No.
There's certain signs of disrespect that you can't let go.
And you're going to, and all you did was verbally chastise him.
Oh,
that's
no.
not going to work.
He's got
mom laughing. You better hold him down and fart on his head.
I don't know if I'm going to do that.
Well, I'm just telling you.
Did your dad ever do that to you?
No, because I would never fart in his room like that. I'm not crazy.
I wouldn't either in front of my dad. Well, although I did do it on a trip to Kansas when I was pretending like I was asleep. And I knew exactly what I was doing. And I was just punishing the car.
Well,
and at one point, my dad goes, damn it to hell, wake Lancey up. And I'm trying not to laugh because they think I'm asleep doing it.
At least you played I'm asleep because you weren't
wearing the car out.
You weren't brave enough to have your eyes open and walk into your dad's room and do it.
No, I know. I'm trying not to laugh, and I'm just thinking, because they didn't know where it was coming from for the first 20 minutes. And finally, at some point, my brother said, it's Lance.
Wow.
Kids.
You can, that's amazing. You can remember one particular fart in an Italian house, bro. It's all hands on deck, okay? Everybody, okay? And you're like, whoa, holy crap, that was
why
a good
you
one.
Make so much cauliflower, Ma?
Ma.
Broccoli Rob, Ma. I think it's pretty clear. Your son has seen you limping.
He
thinks you're worn down and old, and he thinks this is his shot to take control.
Oh, this is his sign. What he doesn't know is my arm stuff is going pretty good. My shoulder stuff, so I'm finally starting to see some things. You're right. I'm going to have to show some. You know what I'm going to do? You know, Snacks' favorite thing is steak, any kind of meat. I took him to Fogo de Chao once, and he almost started crying. He was so happy. I am going to cook a steak in front of him today. I'm going to eat a steak and let him have tacos or whatever. I'm going to give him something weak.
No, you give him a bowl
of
cereal.
I eat a big fat steak with a lot of fat on the end of it, which he loves steak fat. And I'm just going to say, this is what the king of the house gets.
I think what you should do is you say, Snacks, let's go out for a special meal. Just dad and son, just hang out. And what you do is you get your steak and you get him a bowl of cereal. One of those boxes of cereal.
Yeah.
And just pour it in there and go, hey, let's have a conversation. You go, look, I'm the king. You're still a cub. And realize, cubs get cereal, kings get steak.
Yep.
You have to do something.
Yeah, I do have to. I think I did enough yesterday, but you're right. I do need to keep on. I do need to keep making sure that he understands how this works.
Until you play the fog game and you hold his head down. And then and fart on him. He controls you right now.
In the animal kingdom, every day is a test, and Snacks has one-upped you.
Mm-hmm.
No, he hasn't one-upped me.
Yes,
no,
he has.
No, he owns you.
He farted in your.
I shouldn't even have told y'all that. You didn't get to see my response.
It doesn't
I really
matter.
Handled it.
He farted in your den and had and,
I handled
and
it.
Had the female the pride laughing.
Yeah.
Although say, would you do that at school? He goes, I did, and the teacher heard, and I blamed it on the girl. I went, oh, wow, and I looked at the girl and pointed at her.
Have you all seen yesterday, for some reason, I'm watching South Park, and they had the girls. Did you see that one?
Where, no.
How do I put this?
Don't put it.
Oh, boy.
It rhymes with leaf. It rhymes with leaf. And the girls.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
That was on South Park?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
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 No, they've covered everything else.
And that's not even a particularly new episode, right?
I think no.
It's old.
No, that's an old one.
Yeah.
But it was like, really, guys, they just don't care.
No.
They just don't care about anything.
Everything's a heat check.
Yep. 843 ESPN 97.5. Time for me to talk about CBD American Shaman. My peeps over there are awesome at what they do. And listen, I don't know what is ailing you. Is it your knees? Is it your hips? Is it your back, elbows, shoulder? Okay. Because if you're looking for some kind of relief, you can get that. Any kind of, if you have inflammation, this helps with the CBD oil does help with that. And the CBD American Shaman oil is different than every other oil in that it's water soluble. So oil and water don't mix, right? So if you put it in the water and then you're going to drink it, well, it's just going to go. How do you know where it's going throughout your body? It with CBD American Shaman oil, it mixes. It's water soluble, so it evenly goes throughout your body and hits the parts that really need it. And maybe it's your head that really needs it. Maybe it's anxiety that you have. Maybe, well, I don't know. Maybe it's your, it could be your animal's anxiety. Maybe, you know, 4th of July already, if your dog just won't stop barking or whatever, try CBD American Shaman, and there's a chance that your dog will calm down. So if you're looking for a great way to get this done, they're not afraid to give samples out. 30 locations around the city. There's one near you. All you got to do is go to shopcbdtx.com. Shopcbdtx.com.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Dale, get that Albert Breer stuff. Albert Breer did not, of course, now we have to preface this with, do we think Albert Breer is Bill O'Brien's mouthpiece right now?
I think he gets stuff from Bill, yes. They've known each other a long time.
So Albert Breer on a podcast discussing Jack Easterby, it's not too flattering. And I think that he's getting his information. And listen, I don't know Jack Easterby from Adam. I don't. All I know is what I see from outside looking in. I think most of us have that perspective. What we see is a guy who's climbed the ladder. We see a guy who now is in the owner's ear. We see a guy who is the last man standing. And I don't know. You know, Jack Easterby certainly has moved up the ranks in a hurry in the NFL with different teams. Started in New England, went to Kansas City, and came here. And went from chaplain to now he is the vice president of football, executive vice president of football operations, which I don't know what that means, but he's a guy that certainly looks as though he has climbed the ladder, and some people have been stepped on along the way. Bill O'Brien is feeding Albert Breer information, and Albert Breer is none too complimentary. Albert Breer on this podcast, here's Albert Breer talking about Jack Easterby, and here he is. No.
And I think it's like it's interesting too, because like, you know, like some of the people I've talked to in New England, like when players or coaches, when they were going through tough situations personally, like Jack was there for them. And that's why he's able to kind of build trust with people, because he was able to do that. I think the one thing that's sort of interesting to this too, and I don't want to like trivialize this at all, but the religious angle I don't think is insignificant here. I know part of why and the old GM in Houston, Rick Smith, was able to build a very strong relationship with the McNairs and Cal McNair, the son who's now in charge, in particular. And a lot of that was based off them both having like very, very strong religious beliefs. And so in that way, it makes sense that Easterby was able to sidle up to Cal McNair, right? Like if you look at that, like, and you see that was sort of the way that Rick Smith had such a strong relationship with the McNairs. Even when things went sideways with O'Brien, with Easterby, it's the same sort of thing. And so that part of it, I think, is just interesting. And, you know, like if you consider like how strong the bond could be when it's based on that, I do think that there's, like, I don't know. Like, it's fairly easy to see how it happened.
Yeah, agreed. That he used, well, not used. I mean, he's a religious guy. And I have to believe that, you know, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And the McNairs are religious people. And you know, so that they would be. And in this business, I don't know that you find a lot of that. It's a lot of football. It's a lot of, I'm not saying that football people aren't God-fearing or what, but it's football and you know, and well, everything else is secondary. In a lot of instances, a lot of these guys, GMs, coaches, their families are secondary. And we've seen that plenty. That football is king, and we're going to put in 90 hours a week and or more, and it's just about football. Well, the McNairs are, you know, our religious people.
So,
and for somebody to come in and to have all those and have character and to have a religious background, I would imagine that's attractive to the McNairs.
I think high character, but religious background could just be just going to church. I mean, it doesn't have to be this is what your Twitter feed looks like. You know what I mean? But the second thing, I think that we know that the Texans have always been about, they want people with high character. We've talked about that. And some guys they had in were not high character guys. I mean, you have, not everyone's going to be in the NFL. It's just not everyone's going to be in life. If you have a group of people, it's that's just the way it usually is. What concerns me, and something I talked about in the 7 o'clock hour, is, you know, I've talked to a couple of people who are likely GM candidates when it's all said and done. And both of those people brought up, without me even bringing anything up, they both brought up Jack Easterby and how that is a problem and how they can't see good football people wanting to report to him. And they want to know is, you know, how much of Cal's ear does he have? Who does Cal McNair listen to? Is there any chance that there would be, you know, do you think there's any chance that he would move somewhere else in the organization? My answer personally was no. I think he's going to be involved in the search. I think he's going to have some say so. And the feeling I got from both guys, and it's not really a feeling so much as exactly what they said, is they thought Houston looked like a pretty good job potentially. There's some cleaning up that needs to be done with the roster and things like that. But they would rather stay where they were and wait for a different job than have to deal with Easterby being in the owner's ear and kind of meddling and stuff. And he's just not trusted. I mean, and he's got, one guy told me he's got kind of a reputation as being a climber, like who wants to climb up the ladder of power, which we have seen happen. So that's not, you know, that looks like a true statement now. But the other concern was that, you know, if you always know, like if you always have to cater to Jack Easterby, then is he going to be, or he'll, you know, put a bug in an owner's ear, is he going to have to, or if he wants to be involved with personnel stuff, are you going to have to let him? Because if so, good candidates are not going to come here. The best candidates are not coming to Houston if they feel like Jack Easterby is in the mix on the personnel side, on the football side. They're just not going to be. And that's, or if he's going to pick head coach, that's going to be a problem. So, just talking to two guys that I think would both be good candidates and will be candidates for GM searches, neither one of those guys, Easterby was a huge problem. There was some football stuff we talked about too, but Jack Easterby is a big problem. That's a Texans problem right now, because hiring people who have been in the league, they just don't look at a guy like Easterby like, how the hell did he get there? It's not just us saying that. People in the league are really saying that because they know everybody else. They don't know this guy. That no one really knows Easterby unless they've worked with him. And who's worked with him?
Well,
you know, he's a chaplain in Kansas City. The New England guys know him. And then you have, you know, people at Houston, whoever's left at Houston. That's it.
He doesn't have the resume to have this title.
There's no resume for this job.
No, he doesn't.
And you know what else? Everybody knows that he was part of the group. By the way, that's the one thing that came up that I thought was funny. You know, teams read other teams' press conference quotes because they want to see what's being said. They want to pick up any kind of information they can. And one of the things that came up from the other guy I talked to, he said, well, you know, O'Brien always talked about him and Jack Easterby were making all these moves. He said, I think it's funny that these moves, he said, those moves are so bad. These contracts and, you know, not getting a deal done for Tunsil, that was so terrible. He said, that's Jack Easterby doing that stuff too. He said, how did he survive this? And I just said, I think it was more about, it's not as much about the moves as it is about losing the locker room. I think that was why,
Bill O'Brien's gone. The moves contributed to him losing the locker room.
Well, and that's why, and the follow-up was, well, you know, do you think Jack is going to be fired for some of these moves? I said, you know, I don't know that Cal McNair knows they're bad moves. I don't, you know.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
He does.
You think
yes,
so?
Yes, he does. Come on. Yes, he does. I mean, he can't have his head in the sand. He's got to hear. It was on ESPN on a daily basis. It's been on every radio station.
You're
here.
Talking about DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, not only that, but the Tunsil thing, too. I mean, it's ad nauseum around here.
It's ad nauseum in our bubble. I don't know it is in that world, in that bubble.
I think they
see a good left tackle. I don't think they know that this is, you know, that the Texans were completely clowned by a player with no agent. A player with no agent beat them for one of the worst contracts in the league. A 3-year deal. A 3-year deal is laughed at around the league. You just gave a guy how much money? Only 3 years, and he's going to get back to the market?
Yeah. I mean, no, he's got to know. He's got to know. I had to all contribute to it. I mean, losing the locker room, but all of this contributed to that. I mean, being a laughingstock, he has to know. He has to know. And because there's got to be people that are going in and saying, you know what's going on here, right? I mean, somebody had to have walked in there. Although I would imagine everybody was, because guess what? If you go to Cal McNair and tell him anything, he was going right to Bill O'Brien and saying, hey, this guy said this. What? Get rid of that. Get rid of that.
Right.
No, that happened. That happened.
Right.
So, yeah, Cal was snitching on people to Bill O'Brien.
I know.
So maybe people didn't go up to him and say it. And I don't know what Cal listens to. If it's 6'10", you know, he's got himself a nice package of just all Texans all the time.
Well, they have Texans radio, which is going to be public. That's going to be positive.
Oh, it's always going to be positive. Always.
I mean, it's got to be always. Tough at 1-5, but
it's always still going to be positive. Of course it is. I mean, and I don't know that he listens to anything else. I would imagine, I don't know, 99.1. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what Cal listens
to. Yeah, what do you think Cal listens to musically?
740. Oh, music, 99.1, and maybe a classic rock station. That is now. It's not 93.7 anymore. If he turns there because he had a preset in like an old automobile, like he had an old Lexus. There's an old Lexus. He hasn't had it. He hasn't driven it for 10 years, and he goes in and he wants to hear 93.7, the Arrow or whatever it used to be, and he turns it on. He's gonna get the Breakfast Club. He's going to get Charlemagne, and I don't think he needs to hear what Charlemagne is going to be talking about.
Maybe
Charlemagne the God.
Maybe that ex-player who he talked to that gave us this quote.
Knowledge is power.
Put him on Charlemagne the God, and maybe that's what he's listening to now. Do you think Cal's a CCR guy?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah.
I see a moon rising.
Looking out my back door.
I think he's CCR. I don't think he's bred so much. That's too soft for Cal. I think he is, CCR for sure. I think he's Van Halen also, by the way.
They're not a little aggressive for him?
You think I think Cal's a Van Halen. You look at Cal's age, I think he's a big Van Halen guy.
I'm pretty sure he's a Garth guy.
Oh, yes. He's a Garth guy and a George guy. And I think maybe a Willie guy.
Is he a Mamas and a Papas guy?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a little
too old.
For him. That's too old.
How old is Cal?
50.
I don't know.
4 or 5, whatever, in that neighborhood. But he does have young kids, I think. I think he does. And I don't. Is he 50? I don't know.
He's in his 50s, right?
He looks like it.
You know what? Yeah. How old is that kid that Rick Smith was supposedly the godson to?
He's young. 10?
Hold on. How old is Cal McNair? Just been assuming.
Are we going to dig into Cal's family now?
No, we're just trying to figure out what type of music he listens to. That's what I'm age. That's all. That's all
I care
about.
Well, he's listening to Baby Shark right now, probably. I would imagine. 8:59. I know this. That's no jab at Cal. That's all I know. That's no jab.
I know sight jab is where you need to go. I can tell you that for a fact. Here's why I know sight jab is the company that you need to work with. They're here in Houston. They're local. They have been going for 2 decades in the Houston area building websites. And here's what's happened. Over time, website design has really changed. And the more studies that are done, the more algorithms that are out there, the more analytics that are available that shows what time is spent viewing a page and which pages are the ones that bring people in. This has really become a science. And SiteJab is right there at the forefront, helping you develop web page. Well, they don't help you. They help your business by developing the websites for you that are built to maintain people's attention. They want to catch attention. They want to make it easy to navigate. They want to get the information out there quickly and easily for the viewer or for the reader. And then they want to help you turn those eyes into business leads, because that's what small and medium-sized business needs. You know, that this is your own personal ad, is your website, your ad and your information page, and it needs to be as good as possible, or people are going to look at it and say, this company is not with it. And you don't want that out there. Let SiteJab work on your site. They can build a brand new site from scratch from 3 to 6 weeks. That's all it takes. They can even get you hooked up with e-commerce if you want to start collecting money right there from your website. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.